So if you'll turn to the dialogue and prayer, and we'll see if we are one mission as well there. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, O my soul.
I will praise the Lord as long as I live.
I will sing praises to my God all my life long.
Happy are those whose help is in the God of Jacob.
Whose hope is in the Lord their God.
Who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them.
Who keeps faith forever.
Who executes justice for the oppressed.
Who gives food to the hungry.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, O my soul.
And the reading from 1 Peter. Like good stewards of the manifold grace of God, serve one another with whatever gift each of you has received. And let us pray. Almighty God, your Holy Spirit equips the church with a rich variety of gifts. Grant that we may use them to bear witness to Christ in lives that are built on faith and love. Make us ready to live the gospel and eager to do your will, so that we may share with all your church in the joys of eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
And let's sing your winning mission.
Appointed by the Church Congregational Council rather than elected at this meeting. Okay. So we need to delete that item from the agenda.
Well, then I'll still apologize for my interruption.
May I ask a question?
You certainly may, ma'am.
I was always under the impression that the announcement of the meeting was to be by mail. I know that it was by mail in the newsletter, but I didn't see it until Sherry came to my attention. So I'm wondering how many people did not see it. You know, if you get a letter in the mail, you're going to open it and you're going to read it. If it's in the newsletter, you don't always read it at that time. And I may be all wet about this, but I just think that it would be better to...
You are. The whole time I was in the office, every year I had to produce that letter the first part of the first week of January.
And not everybody gets the newsletter either by computer or hard copy.
They should get it by hard copy.
If they attend church, but if they're not there for the, you know, in those Sundays that it's out. I'm not arguing, but I'm just calling a point of order that I always thought that it was to be under separate mailing.
Yeah, at least 2 weeks ago.
So it might be something you want to consider. I don't know.
Well, thanks for that, because it's a suggestion, if it helps people to be aware and maybe participate, then it's maybe worth sending a letter, right?
It's in the bylaws.
Anything else? Do we have a motion to approve the agenda, please? Someone second?
Second.
Any more discussion on that? All in favor, say aye, please.
Aye.
Opposed? Chair.
That's approved, passed with the deletion, correct?
Right. As amended.
As amended, yeah.
Approval of the 2013 annual meeting minutes.
Current move to approve the 2013 annual meeting minutes as submitted.
Second.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. And before we go any further or get to the pastor's comments, I just want to thank Sherry. I don't know how many people know how hard she worked in the last couple of weeks to put in this together. And even survived all of her frantic moments. Thank you very much, Sherry.
Hey, Sherry, did you have to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning? You said you would if you had to.
No, I didn't.
No.
Thank you.
She stayed up to 3 o'clock in the morning.
Pastor, you have comments?
My letter's there for you to read. One of the things that I brought up was asset mapping, which is something that we'll be working on here, kind of identifying who we are in this coming year and how we can serve others. In the sermon today, I was talking about how we've been already equipped to do ministry, and there's ministry for us to do here. So a part of that is kind of figuring out what are our assets and how can we serve. Sometimes if you don't sit down and really take a moment and think about it, you think, oh, well, you know, it's a Sunday morning and blah, that's it. So I'm going to ask you to pick a partner and come up with one asset that you can think of for St. Luke's. Only one. It could be a person, a place, or a thing. I'll give you an example of an asset that I've become aware of. We are located here on this corner, right? And we are the bus stop. I don't know how many know you know that, but the kids get dropped off and picked up from this location. So part of a service asset is the fact that we are here. And there are kids being dropped off on our doorstep. I talked to one of the parents as I was coming out and asking them if there's anything that would be helpful for us to do. And they said, well, when it snows, the kids usually huddle here to get out of the elements, but the bus comes from over there. And so one thing that we may do as a service project is just to put a place for the kids to sit out of the elements over here. It's not very complicated and simple. There's things like that that we can do to reach out and share God's love. So find a partner or two. You have a few minutes to brainstorm. What is some asset that we have already? Not something we need, something we have to go get, but something we already have here. So, go.
How many kids are we talking?
I don't know. I haven't actually seen them all over there.
How big of a shelter would All right, did you come up with anything?
We like what you said.
Well, that's good. And part of the thing with working with council and other things is we'll be exploring these things. And obviously, I am not going to go out there by myself and put up a shelter, because if I did, it'd be like, it would crash to the kids. The grandkids would be like, we'd be better off sitting over there. Yeah?
Is there any reason we could not allow them in the front door of the church?
Somebody would have to be here.
Yeah.
For the
problem is the bus comes there, so if they're in, it's hard to see. Yeah. That's the only issue, is that the bus comes.
Oh, they come up here, too.
But so this is some of the brainstorming we'll be doing together. And you know, as you're talking to other people, right, you get other ideas, and somebody's like, oh, you know what? I've got a hammer. I've got some nails. We could, you know, slap something up or something. We're a small church, right? We can't hire things out. It takes us all together. That's kind of the fun thing about being a small church, is that we can work together. Together, we know each other, right? So we can get together and do things together. A lot of times with the church, people look for the Savior, right? One person's going to come in and be Jesus for us. Oh, and everything's going to be great. And a lot of times it's the pastor, right? If we could get a good pastor in here, then the church will grow, and we'll have lots of money, and life will be wonderful. And I hate to break it to you, that's a lot of pressure on me and I. But together, we can do a lot, and we're here for a reason. So let's not look for the Savior, because we are the body of Christ, right? We are the body of Christ here now. That's us together. And so when we work together and be the body of Christ together, we're going to come up with some amazing ministry. And it's not that we have to blow somebody out of the room or found the, you know, not a competition, okay? Not a competition. So we're looking to be sales, right? Where's the Holy Spirit blowing? Where are we being led to serve?
My esteemed team over here.
Yes.
came up with the fact that one of our assets is that our church is very involved in community service. And and it was like this, not all churches take on helping with food pantry, Habitat, all of the community services, they'll get one. But we have a very knowledgeable congregation that is aware of what needs to be done and takes joy in doing it. And I think it's a great asset.
So we're connected too. So then there's not that kind of doing something that somebody else is already doing, which is important too. Yeah.
I've seen it done and it works very well. Change for change. And all you need is a piggy bank. and you just drop whatever change you want in it in fellowship time. And then when it either gets full or something comes up that, you know, you can help somebody, an organization like that that needs a little boost while you have to piggyback.
It's heavy carrying all that change around, so yeah.
And it's not much. It works real well.
Yeah, good. Jenny?
Our group decided our asset was you.
Excuse me?
Our group decided our asset was our pastor.
Amen.
Say more.
I let her finish. She was very good with children, and that is the future of this church.
That is.
Because if you look at the demographics, you're a child of this group.
And I can't do it alone, though, so I need people, and that's going to be one of the big deals of council. I can't do it by myself. So we need council people.
I think you always have done a great job.
Yeah, you should take that here some Sunday, for sure.
Another big asset we have is Julie.
Yeah. And the choir's been doing a great job. There's only three. You guys sound beautiful. Good job. Yeah.
We decided that one of our assets is that our history. We've been here so long, and we have some families that have been here for generations. We really they really, as a group, and us as a group, understand Buffalo and the area.
That's good, right? You have to know where you're at and know your surroundings. Yeah, it's good.
One of our assets is an elderly man that passed but left a memorial.
Okay.
Right. And I feel that the council really ought to pursue the idea of the shelter for the kids. And I know that there is dedicated money that goes strictly to Nelson's to be used as something for the church. And I feel as though that would be something well worthwhile, and if you name it. Mm-hmm.
Oh, right. Yeah. So, duly noted by the secretary.
Couldn't that be also dedicated as a community service rather than for the church? Because it would be for the community.
For the community, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's reaching out.
Yeah, but it's our outreach, right?
Exactly. So it's us being the church. So who are we as the church, and how do we serve? Right.
Uh-huh. How about the bells? I think they're a great asset.
Yeah.
That's a lot of work.
Amen.
Denise?
No, I was agreeing with
you. Oh, yes.
Good. We were going to use the bell part, but dinner. It spreads the word of St. Luke's. We pull people in from different communities, and makes us a little bit more known.
So the bell brings in people from that other churches.
Yes, fishing with nets, right?
Pastor, I really think that we've all kind of said it, but I think one of our greatest assets are the people in this room right now, and some that aren't here. But for a small church, you know, the dedication that I've seen in the last couple of years, particularly 2 years ago, from everyone sitting here, and I said some that aren't, but I think we have to recognize we are the asset. And if we work together and pray together and stay together, there's a lot we can do with St. Louis.
Maybe that segues right into we're not all M&Ms.
Every color is M&Ms. Every color is M&Ms. Or as instruments, as I was talking about, being the orchestra in the newsletter, or in the letters that I was talking about, being the orchestra, playing together. And coming from our Lutheran tradition, we're not Protestant because we didn't protest the church. We are reformers. We're about reforming the church. And so we need to remember the Spirit's alive and active and be willing to go with where the Spirit's going. And sometimes it means changing instruments. That's part of being reformed, identifying things. So things don't have to be like they have, but maybe tweaked or whatever. But it's an exciting time to be creative. And where is the Spirit going? Because if we stick with the Spirit, we'll go places, right? As the wind blows, we'll be sent out. So that's for us to think about this year. And yes, we are still in another year of transition. I mentioned it last year about, you know, we're heading down the river. Once you go river rafting, you can't go back upstream. You're heading down. So there will be rapids, of course. We've hit some. We will continue to hit them because, you know, we're still transitioning. It will take at least 2 years, sometimes 4 years, for things to settle out. So keep the faith. It's all par for the course. It's good. We're on our way. And together, you know, there's nothing we can't do. So thank you very much for all your help. And I've got door prizes, so.
Brides, I think you call them.
They're door prizes. We're not bribing anybody. I'll do them at the end.
Four coffee cups and t-shirts?
Something different this year.
I want a mattress.
Thank you very much. Let's continue on. Any questions or comments on the reports that are contained in the annual report? Some of it will be kind of talked about here in a couple minutes.
On the statistical report, what is the statistical adjustment of adding 8?
New members? Can you repeat that? I didn't hear you.
What is the statistical adjustment of 8 by adding 8 on the
where are you
on page 7 on that report of the statistical report?
I think it's because our records have been we're trying to get them updated and they were messed up in the past and so now we're trying to figure out where we were.
But these are added members. How did we
lose them? I didn't.
What do you mean?
Sorry.
Well, that is already on there.
Oh,
but this is an adjustment. And I'm not understanding the adjustment.
The adjustments, that was with getting everything sorted out with the icon and getting numbers matched up. Because there was 80 people missing, and then we found them. So this is accurate now. What we have here is accurate with our records. We were just having record problems because a lot of things hadn't been recorded and things were missing. 2011 was the last time and actual numbers were put in. So we were scrambling, trying to figure out what the numbers were.
These aren't members, though, that have been dropped because the council said they are
not. No, nothing like that.
Oh, okay.
Nope, these are just statistical adjustments. Unless they transferred themselves, which is all we had. So
it was people say that I'm not coming back here again.
Unless they wrote us a letter and said, move my membership, they're still in here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we haven't moved anybody unless they said, move me.
Okay.
Yeah, council hasn't done anything like that.
I picked up the draft this week. I read through that. But I have, in the draft, there wasn't a budget or anything.
It wasn't.
This is the first time I've seen it.
That's right.
So I haven't had a chance to even digest anything that's in here. And it could be that some of the reports were draft and they've been changed.
No,
so I don't feel comfortable.
This is, these numbers here, is that what you're talking about?
No. I think he's talking in general.
Right. I don't feel comfortable in discussing a lot of this stuff because I guess I've had 2 hours to look at it. Part of that time, we were at church.
You were looking at the report during church?
No, I said,
what?
I said, no, I didn't have that time.
All right.
Very little was changed, maybe a period or a spacing issue or something, but things were not released from the draft. But there are new reports that came in after Sunday. That's what I had to do.
But the
financial stuff? The financial stuff and the recommended synod insert. Those are the new things.
So can we all have, 10 minutes to study this before we go?
That's a great idea.
That's a good idea.
Is 10 minutes going to be enough?
Well, it's better than nothing.
And, is it somebody going to kind of go through it with us?
That was my plan.
Oh, good.
Sorry. But, and I guess just to address those comments, certainly
it's not ideal for the financial reports to be inserted late into the annual report. That was our reality this year, partly because of my schedule and partly because of all the transition that we've been through in financial reporting. So hopefully at a minimum today as a group, we can look through the financial reports, talk through what they mean, what the takeaways are for the congregation, what the plan is going forward, and if, because of the timing, people are not comfortable voting on that, we'll have to come up with an alternative plan for accepting or moving forward with the financial plan. But I still think it's a good opportunity for everyone to be gathered together to talk through it, answer questions, find out what it is we may not be comfortable with, so that we can take action on that, even if it needs to be at a different time.
Thank you, Melissa.
Yeah, I think it's a little different take on an annual meeting with this discussion and willingness to realize that some of these issues are very important to our church, and we can't just rubber stamp them. We have to understand them, and we have to have an open, honest discussion and make some choices. And that's what we'll end up doing. But thanks for bringing that up, Dean, because as part of earlier, Sherry just worked very hard to put all this together, and unfortunately, the timing wasn't what we'd like it to have. But perhaps as a result, we get a better product with you.
At a meeting.
And Sherry can't put reports in that she doesn't have.
That she doesn't have.
And she didn't have any reports for me until Wednesday.
But I also want to say Leslie has worked extremely hard on our financial reporting. And I'm going to say that Sheila has done a great job in getting our information current and working with the system now and learning that and in a format that can be used, not just by the council, but by all of us. And I don't think without the weekends and time evenings that Leslie spent at our house with Sheila helping her, and also that she spent in her office, we wouldn't be where we're at. I mean, we're not an ideal place, but this was, as Leslie said, a year of transition and learning. So, thanks to you two.
Are we going to have a report every month from now forward as to the finances of the church, rather than waiting until the end of the year and say, hey, we're in such deep doo-doo now, could you all dig deeper?
Well, there will be a report, and there are some... let's just say some administrative issues. I don't want to be pointing fingers at anybody.
There's no sense rehashing old things.
But yes, there will be.
Okay,
and it should be there.
It'll be written as part of the newsletter and not just the link in the email version.
Oh, I'm kind of like Dean. It's like you vote on it and then you find out what's in it.
Well, like Leslie said, let's talk about it. If people are comfortable voting, we'll take another approach.
Okay.
Because we don't want to vote if people aren't comfortable. Anything else? Any old business from last year that's done that I'm aware of? If not, we'll move to new business. And Lois...
No, they're just not there yet.
We'll get there. The Lois asked that we include a discussion on the Scandinavian dinner and kids shop in the agenda. So I guess I'd like to ask Lois to start that discussion.
Thank you. Well, I put the Scandinavian dinner asking if we could discuss it, because after the one last year, we had some discussion whether should we do this every year or should we do it every other year. It's fallen on just, a few people, and then the numbers have been going down the last two or three years, and we haven't really had, that great a turnout. So I just wanted to know what feedback was in the congregation, since it is a congregational event. And my thought, and I wrote this to the council a couple times, if we do have, and continue with the Scandinavian dinner, we should have three people that are on the committee to do all the planning, the ordering, and whatnot. Then every year, add another one, take one off. So there's somebody on that knows what's going on, and it doesn't fall on two or three people to do all the planning and all the ordering. Those three guys did an excellent job when they started. Now one's in Texas and one's in South Dakota, and that's a little hard to communicate.
Lois, I have a question. When we have the Scandinavian dinner, what's the purpose of it? Besides feeding people Scandinavian food, it's for a community.
Well,
is it for a church fundraiser? Or?
It hasn't really been designated in the last couple of years. And with the Scandinavian dinner over the years, we've bought tables, we've bought theme tables, we've bought things for the kitchen. It's just kind of been a fundraiser for the congregation.
Yeah. And how much did we earn last year compared to what we spent out, do you know? I don't see a report anything.
So well, that's in the council took over all the finances, so we don't.
Okay. I just want to see if it was worth.
I think it was about
$500
that we profited.
That we profited.
Mm-hmm.
Because everything's donated except for the green fish plus the turkey things on the meal.
Have we ever considered doing it at a different time? Like, you know, it's always traditionally been over lunchtime. Have we ever considered doing it in the evening?
We, at one time, we did it like from 3 to 7 or something. Mm-hmm. Then they thought, well, after church, you know, people will come. But and maybe a different time of year would be.
Yeah.
And maybe changing the menu would bring more people out. I heard that as well.
But if our numbers are, if our attendance is down, maybe just change the time or something.
Mm-hmm.
But,
changing the night of February might help. I know for me, like, we kind of had a profit of $500, but I know what I spent out of pocket for all the
food. Exactly.
Right. Yeah. We actually would have chipped in how much our profit is.
$100.
I worked my hand into it.
And the people that go are still
so
better than the people that go.
Yep.
It's not going to be anybody new just because of the time.
I hear you.
The people that come are going to be the regular people that have come before. And I don't know that there would be any advantage to having it in the evening. Skip?
Well, I just feel as though it's another situation where it falls back upon the congregation that we are not out selling tickets. If we get the tickets out and everyone sells 10 tickets, we've got a good...
Mm-hmm.
Turnout.
Mm-hmm.
And so that I feel so again the attendance drop has because we have not been out selling to other people other than the church members.
Well, I know there's a lot of people in the congregation who look forward to it and they say, now finish your dinner, and the people from Sheridan look forward to it. So it's just something, I don't know. There were several comments last year afterward that maybe we should wait a year and not have it in February. Or so maybe you want to vote on it or what you want to do. Or
it, you know, it seems to me the real question is not whether we should have it or not. It's are we as a congregation going to come together and be committed to having it, and whether it's selling tickets or
and there were tickets,
and working here and helping with the planning and the organization, and because if we're not all doing it together, it falls on two or three people. But I don't think we should be doing it, quite frankly. It isn't going to work. Yes, ma'am.
I just have always had a thought on our Scandinavian dinner. I remember one year we did the Scandinavian dinner, we did the baked potato fundraiser. All of them are great causes. We also had some baptisms that went on. And it's right during Lent. And I just have a hard time having festival things during Lent. So I would just ask that as we go forward, we define as a congregation, do we want to do... It works out that it's the kickoff to Lent, you know. But I would like to see it moved outside of that time period.
I agree.
How about doing it in the spring rather than
It's cold.
Yeah. It's cold no matter what.
We have our bazaar in the fall, so, but maybe in the spring would be a good time to have a little.
Just so you know, this year, Lent starts on March 5th. FYI, so Easter isn't until really late. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the school's going to be pretty red before Easter's going to happen.
Well, I think it's with anything we do that each individual person signs up to do in the congregation. If you don't like it or it's not fun for you, you have a tendency to not really want to do it.
You don't like red M&Ms.
Right.
Right. Section it off. Yeah.
I think there's a bigger question. This piggybacks on what Tammy said, but it's a huge undertaking to do the dinner. There's a ton of volunteer hours. There's a ton of people that have to be here during the event, a lot of monetary contributions to do it. So if our purpose in doing it is outreach, that's one thing. If our purpose in doing it is fundraising, I think we can do something else way easier to make $500 a year, which is all we've made, at least in the last few years. Now, we've used those funds to do really good things in the church, and it's helped. But if the primary driver is fundraising, I think we need to look at other options that wouldn't take so much of so many people's time.
And I think it's also a kid's job. You do it for so long, and it's worth it when it's the same people. Mm-hmm.
We, you know, the ladies have a no-bake bake sale, and we raised quite a bit of money, you know, just for our ladies for that. Could we have a non-Scandinavian dinner? I would rather contribute money than have to work on it.
Well, and it's a big job. It's a big job.
My age, I just can't do it.
I agree with Skip. If you notice, Gene Simquambre, he goes around and sells tickets, and he sells, like, I don't know how many, but they always have over 700 people that go to their fish fry.
Oh,
yeah.
Good
Friday.
Yeah.
So let's face it,
Tuesday before Ash Wednesday.
You know, everything in life has a lifespan, including us. And, you know, if we do something for a while, we do some good things, maybe it ends, it's the end of its lifespan. It's okay to move on to a different way or another activity or something. So I think we need to just pray about this.
Maybe I need to focus on
it. Kurt, I was just wondering where Lois has suggested that maybe we want to take a year off. I like Mona's idea. Why don't we try it? Take the year off and try the no-cook method, see how much we raise.
Kurt, I'd like to make a motion that we not have the Scandinavian dinner this year, that we appoint a committee of three, to and whatnot, and then have it again next year. I'll second it.
Thank you. That moves us forward.
I'll second it.
Oh, okay. Who's
there? Julie.
Oh. See, I was back there behind
that. Behind that post. It's a post.
Any more discussion on this? And, it's not, it's easy to say appoint a committee, but we also need three or four people to step up and work on this thing.
Can I just say something real quick? Because I hear a bell ringing downstairs. I don't know if anyone had anything in the oven. So I might want to check the oven.
Pastor went down.
Sorry.
Okay. All in favor of Lois's motion, say aye, please.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. And I'd like to suggest that anyone interested in serving and pursuing Lois, we've been asked, Lois, would you be kind enough to sort of be the contact person on this if we wanted to volunteer?
I think she was wanting out of this.
Sure.
So you're not.
So let's, some of us get a hold of Lois and help her out. Do you want to go? Since you're on a roll, Lois, you want to drive on to the kid shop?
Another discussion on the kid shop is we've discussed, and somebody first asked me, why do you even bring up the council meeting? Because it's a community project, or a congregational project. It's the church project. And there's been comments, and I know Julia doesn't want to do it anymore. She said, well, she wasn't going to do it. She may have somebody to do it. But I didn't know. The ladies have discussed this, and if there was discussion, opinions, or whatever, we just thought it should be anything about that.
I personally, since I work in the school district and see the children that it affects and helps, I honestly think it's a program that is definitely worth keeping, especially in the times that we're still in the middle of a recession, even though some people think we're not. If you look even at the donations have gotten less and less each year, and it's started to be a little bit more. I honestly think it's a great community outreach, and I think it needs to stay in our community, whether it's with our church or another church. I would definitely say it needs to stay.
Oh, I think it needs to stay.
It's not our church. It's a lot.
Speaking on behalf of my wife.
I won't be designer.
Not so much that. You've been deeply involved because of your commitment.
It is a huge commitment. When Julia volunteered to do it, we had no kids and she was working part time. That's dominating on us, obviously. So that's at the heart of why she's kind of needed to step back. Agrees fully with Denise that she has invested her part into that. We hate to see it go away in the community. So I think one thing she'd want to know from the church is, are we willing to let it go to other congregations and maybe have it as a rotate around town.
Sure.
And I personally think that's a great idea. She's got people that have mentioned that she are interested in doing that.
And I've spoken to Julia too, and there are some, there's one, in my opinion, really good person that is considering. There's another that it puts fear in me if that person takes over, because I just know this person, it will nosedive. I know Julia feels the same way.
Yeah.
But I think that's out of our hands once we give it away.
That's right.
Well, the thing is, God is too big for us.
Yeah. Yeah. And my next question is, does anybody know what the balance is in that account?
That's just what I was going to say. Here it says that it's a minus $200. Now, is that after Trident gave their $600, or is it before Trident gave their $600?
Or is this just for the year? I didn't know.
I don't know.
I think Tracy handles that account.
That's a P&L only for 9 months.
I
that's not giving you a balance sheet. We don't know. From this report, we cannot tell the account balance. You can just tell that in 9 months we lost $200.
I think it's just, to me that's nothing. That's easy enough to have someone write a check. We did it for getting cows and pigs for the church. For the kids for the program, I think if we knew that we were short that money, it's not a big deal.
Well, I don't think we are, because when I talked to Julia, she said we have plenty of money.
I agree.
Right, because there was carryover there.
Yeah, that's what I said, there's carryover for. I agree with Tammy. If you get into another church, we can help them along the way. Everyone who's helped in our church, I've done donations for 6 or 7 years. I could help that person to show them what we do for donations. If each person took whatever job they did on the Christmas kid shop and explained it thoroughly to the person taking it over, I think it can run really well. And it's okay if it changes a little bit. Let it change a little. I think change is good. It's not necessarily a bad thing.
Do you see what I'm saying? The money, the assets, how are we going to handle that? If we aren't going to have this anymore, who's going to decide who gets it all?
Yeah. How do you put that out? Do you put it in the newspaper and say,
we're not going to be?
That's right.
Can I make a motion?
Well,
okay. I'm going to make a motion that we turn the kid shop over to another entity, and that we allow the church council to make the decision as to who that entity is going to be.
Could you repeat?
Is there a second to that? Then we can
discuss. I got a second.
Okay, made a second. What's your thoughts?
We need discussion.
I don't understand how that would work.
That basically what I am saying is it's not up to Julia to say who gets it. She doesn't want to call it.
Okay, then where is the name going to come from?
Christmas Kitchen. It doesn't have to be called St. Luke.
It can be Christmas Kitchen.
But who? Who's going to take it?
Well, no, we don't know.
There's another group.
We know who to.
Well,
they're
going to
have to have a plan.
Yeah, the council.
Okay. Well, it doesn't have to be one other church. It could be a partnership.
Yeah.
It seems to me the kid shop's become a community asset.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's grown to be bigger than a St. Luke's asset. There's been people from other churches already working with Julia.
It could be Mox.
So it could be another group one.
And they just need to bring it to council and say they want to take it over.
Well, I would think they'd have to go, if another group formed that was a multi-church group, each of those churches would have to,
buy
into it,
Was it 2 or 3 years ago? So we have a motion on
it. Yeah, could you repeat it for me?
And then it's just a host church. Somebody would be a host church for the multi-church activity.
It doesn't have to be a church.
No. So,
could you repeat it for me for the minutes? Just make it up.
I make a motion that we cease operating St. Luke's Christmas Kids Shop and turn it over to another entity, and that the church council will make a decision as to who that's going to be.
Can you say under a recommendation from Julia or somebody?
Yeah, on recommendation of Julia.
Well, but she doesn't want to be part of it, guys.
The council can use common sense and gather
information. I second the motion.
And they can also say that it's not going to be at this church anymore.
That's the whole point.
It never was.
Yeah. I mean, if they needed to use our church, would we say no?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
I couldn't use
our facility. They have to take
care of the sewer
problem.
Yeah.
Well, then that should be in the.
I think the motion is, first, I think the motion is fine. Let's just work through it and see. There's too many questions that we're not going to have answers for right now, until we get into it. But, hey, I think keeping our church council involvement, there should be an opportunity for us to look at it together and answer something.
I have a question yet, if I may.
Sure.
If we give up both of these things, what are we going to do as an outreach?
Oh, we can't bring them up now.
Oh, yeah, we got lots of outreach.
Okay.
All right.
Question.
We've had considerable discussion. All in favor of the motion, say aye, please.
Aye.
Is there anyone opposed? Okay. Thank you, Gary.
Thank you.
Well, next is the discussion that needs to be held, and I do understand you haven't had perhaps adequate time to look at the report and digest it and ask questions. At this point, let me start by saying that, we approve budgets and every year at this meeting. And in my opinion, we've never had a true budget because we have never done a pledge drive and had any way to be certain about what our potential revenue was going to be. So what we've always had is a spending plan. This is money we want to spend. And you can look at it different ways. When I look at it, when the congregation votes to approve that spending, whether they realize it or not, they're also voting to support the spending. And that hasn't happened. And you got to realize in 2012, we didn't pay a pastor's salary for half a year. And so then we had a little surplus going into 2013. But that got used up for all the reasons I just said. Now we don't have a surplus.
You know, and yes, we're paying our bills. You know, we're getting by. But we're not really managing it well, in my view. And I'll take any hits you want to give me over that, because maybe part of it's not all of it's my fault. But one of the things we don't need, or we don't have, is a treasurer. When we implemented this financial secretary, because I'll tell you, it's a lot of work to do all this stuff. But we need a treasurer that understands finances, that can look at the situation, that can forecast, that can advise the council and every other entity that spends money. So, one, I think we need to find somebody to do that. But the other thing is, we need to face reality here. And there's going to be there's a report in there on that Dennis wrote. And I want to thank all the guys that worked on this. The council voted to appoint this task force to look at the property next door, 645 North Burrage. And it's not the issue of whether we should have bought it, shouldn't have bought it. I mean, that horse is out of the barn, and that decision was made. We have to look at it in a context of what's the risk, what's the current and potential impact on St. Luke's financial status. And how do we move forward to fix St. Luke's financial status for the future? Because if we continue, it's obvious. You don't need to study that. You can see it. If we continue to where we are, and in 2016, the current balance is right around $70,000. Our note with Scranton's is due. And we don't have $70,000. And I don't have $70,000 to give the church. I want it to. So that's why we said we got to look at what's going on here. Now, having said all that, and I'll get off the soapbox, because she was going to throw a dart at me pretty soon. Leslie, would you like to kind of talk about the financial report and the status where we're at?
First of all, I know you guys have heard this, but it's repeating. There's been a lot of transition in the administrative and kind of behind the scenes financial coordination and record keeping of the church. And there are people in this congregation that have put in a lot of hours, and I know that's always been the case, but at least in the time that I've been involved, Dan did an incredible job working through all of this and getting us through to a handoff point at the end of last year. We suffered through a transition to a financial record-keeping program that we learned the hard way did not work for our church, and it took us a lot of hours and a lot of work to come to that hard decision. We made an investment in it, but we ultimately had to say, this isn't working, and it took a lot of time for people to get to that place. And some of that happened behind the scenes and on the council, and we haven't done a very good job overall, month to month, making sure the whole congregation knows what's happening and where we are.
Sometimes we didn't know.
Sometimes we didn't know, that's true, Shana. And this last year, Jim Shirey spent a lot of time in the initial handoff of the books from Dan, and then Sheila stepped in and has been spending a bunch of time getting a handle on this. And we do have a new system in place now. This one does work for us. I think it really will make things easier going forward and allow for a little more sanity for whoever is in the financial secretary position. Kurt mentioned that we need to find someone to fulfill a treasurer position. We also need to find someone to fulfill a financial secretary position. Sheila needs to step out of that role by the end of next month. And there's a lot of work that happens behind the scenes. So I think that's worth acknowledging. Some of you know that. You've been in that position. You've done it in years past. But there's a lot going on there. So while we have a lot to improve on in terms of communicating financial information on a regular basis back to the congregation, to Loretta's point, we need to have better reports in our monthly reporting out so everybody knows. But I really think part of what we have to
think about in looking at our financial activity for this last year is that it really truly is, I think, a reality check for us as a congregation and for each of us as individual members of the congregation. We started the year, as Kirk said, with a cash surplus. Part of that's been built up over the years, being wise about our financial decisions and having giving that's more than our expenses. But it was very noticeable in 2012 during the transition between pastors. We had several months where we didn't have a full-time pastor, so we didn't have as much operating expense as we do in a normal year. So if you look at, I'm on page 15 of the report. On the bottom half of page 15, we put together a summary of just revenue and expense activity. And the first part of this just focuses on the general fund. So it's ignoring what's happening in the house fund. It's ignoring what's happening dedicated funds. Just looking at general offerings coming in, ongoing general operating expenses of the church. If you look at 2012, we had primarily operating, but all of our general fund revenues, including those fundraising activities that we've talked about earlier today, $87,000. Our expenses in 2012 for the general fund were $65,000. That's way less than they normally are because of all the transition we had with no pastor. You look at 2013, our general fund revenues and fundraising proceeds are $78,000. So our giving, basically, and fundraising earnings are down almost $9,000 from the year previous, compounded by the fact that our general fund expenditures, ongoing operating expenses, are $106,000, which is not quite, but almost double what we had the year before. So the impact of both of those things are what resulted in what Kurt was alluding to, is that we used up all of our cash reserves. If you look up at the top half of this report, where you have a summary of our financial position, if you look at our assets, which are primarily our cash, and then we have the property north of here. But at the end of last year, we had cash of about $50,000. And we have used the bulk of that. At the end of this year, we have $7,000 in our checking account, $10,000 in savings, and $2,500 in the house account. That's way less than we started with. We used about $25,000 of cash reserves this year. And in addition to that, towards the end of this year, we, with council approval, we even have borrowed $2,000 from dedicated funds to cover some ongoing expenses. Now that is a borrowing that will be paid back, absolutely. It's not money that's being transferred to the general fund permanently, but it underscores this tightening of our general fund and the fact that we don't have that cash reserve surplus now. And I think it's also important to be thinking about that. We need to acknowledge it because it also impacts what we have in here to consider as a proposed spending plan for 2014. Because if our giving continues on the same trend or even is exactly the same as it was this year, our spending plan is more than our anticipated giving based on this year or even based on last year, if 2012 is more representative. So either, as a congregation, we have to decide what operating expenses of the church we can no longer support or what changes we have to make, or we have to not grow and contract, or we have to decide as a group and as individual members that the spending plan and the mission of the church is worth supporting, and each of us are prepared to make the changes that can support that. So I guess I know people haven't had a chance to look at this very long or maybe at all till right now, but are there questions or things that we can answer immediately? Anything we can shed light on?
Has there been any, you know, where did the biggest expense come from? Was it, you know, like from the worship committee or the...
It's a good question. Most of the increase in expense this year compared to last year is in salary and benefit expense in terms of having a pastor on full time. One other kind of one-time expense that we had this last year that we wouldn't have going forward is we spent about $2,500 to buy a copier and printer for the office that allowed us to do our printing in-house. We were outsourcing all of our printing before, and you'll see that office expenditures, if you set aside that one-time purchase, were way less this year than they've been in the past. We think it's a cost savings long-term, but we had a $2,700 cash outflow for that.
Is all of the printing done in our church, or is it in the other center?
I think we're all in-house.
Right.
Oh, except for the covers, those came from the ESA. Sorry. Leslie, on the house fund net loss, was most of that sewer business and stuff like that? Would that be something that would have to be addressed for future time, or are there other expenses that we need to pay for the house?
We had a lot of house expenses this year, and just to clarify, during 2013, we had total revenues for the house, I'm on the bottom half of page 15, of just over $14,000. $4,100 of that was offerings designated to the house fund, and the other $10,000 was the $850 a month rent that we've received. So we had $14,000 in income. Expenses for the year totaled just shy of $11,000. So we were $3,500 to the good for the year, but as you know, the sewer expenses and some of the other repairs that we had at the house this year, we hope, are not annual expenses, but it goes back to some of Kurt's comments that we've got aging infrastructure there. It's not going to be free for us to maintain that property, and that's part of, I think, what's driving some of the conversation about what our decision might be.
Can I just answer, was that your question? To my knowledge, there's no pending, near-term pending significant maintenance issues. We just recently had there's no central heating system in that place. There's three space heaters, natural gas, two wall-mounted and one freestanding. One of the space heaters had some issues, had a bad gas valve, and the gas was actually leaking. And anyway, we brought in Tom Weber from Tri-County Gas to inspect, clean, service, etc. And they've taken care of it, or in the process. And just for information, and if you believe these are quilters, Tom's wife owns the best kept secret quilt shop over at Claremont. He did not charge us for the parts or the labor. And when I talked to him about it, he said, "We are a Christian organization, and we do work for other Christian organizations. We don't charge." So if you see these folks, say thanks. But anyway, to answer your question, I'm not aware of any significant maintenance needs in the near term. We have to, at some point this summer, clean up where the and sod where the trench went, and we had to take the fence down, and we have to figure out what we're going to do about that, but I don't see those expenses here. Yes, ma'am.
How are the pledges going?
I have no idea. I've never seen a record of a pledge. You know, I'll tell you this, I do know this, so I might as well share it. And I don't know if they're part of pledges or not. Last year, six giving entities, you know, individuals or families, contributed specifically to the Hoffs, this 4,000, whatever it is?
470.
Okay. Out of those six, one is no longer a member of the church. Was it 200 that gave multiple times? And the others were one-time donations. But I've never seen a pledge record, and I don't know if we have it. Ma'am.
I think this kind of follows up on this and is also a point I wanted to make, Wesley, is that the income, the 2013 house revenues, includes the $4,145 of house offerings.
Right.
I have no way of knowing, but from the task forces we were discussing and studying among us that are on the task force, we believe that a significant portion of that $4,145 were from pledges that people had made previously when we purchased that. So I think when we don't include that $4,000 that was previous commitments by congregation members, then we look at it, the house revenue, the rent, $10,200, was less than our expenses. And therein lies the problem.
I don't understand what we're going to do with that property. I mean, that's just, to me, I've never agreed with the property in the first place, not to say I was an A. But what are we going to do with that property? What is the purpose? Why did we purchase it in the first place? That's all. I never thought why we did it.
We don't need to go there.
We don't want to go backwards.
Let's let that lie. That's not an issue.
Did she get a question to ask?
Yes, sir.
I'd like to make a comment. I agree with what Dennis said. The expenses on the house, disregarding the $4,100, which should have been applied to the principal of the note.
That's exactly right.
So therefore, the expenses do not, or the income does not cover the expenses. And the other thing we've got to be thinking about, you say this note comes due in 2016.
March of 2016.
We are not going to get another 3% note.
No,
exactly. Going up. I believe there's some investment guys here that would probably, Scott said something about going to need a new roof someday. Okay, if it needs a new roof, if it needs a new furnace, we're looking at $10,000 to $15,000 investment right there. That property is not worth it. And I'll only say this once, they paid too much for it. That's it.
Thank you, Ron. Denise, you'll get a disagreement.
The other thing I'm going to say, if they bought it for expansion, I don't believe we can expand on this church anymore because we do not have the parking facilities to accommodate. We have to have so much area for parking. And if we have to tear that house down, that's an awful expensive parking
lot. Yes, yeah, you're right.
But Denise, I don't want to. She left.
She's just saying.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
Grant.
I think I'm going to make a motion that we put the house up for sale.
I'll second that.
Yeah. Maybe I'm premature, but.
Can I just explain something a little more to make sure everybody knows? Part of the things that I'm concerned about is that I wasn't even here when this was purchased, but once we kind of started looking at the financial records, the church had a CD for $38,000 and change. That CD was cashed in, and the next day went into the house account. So that $38,000 was our financial reserve for the church. And those of you who know something about business, at that time our budget was less than $100,000, our expenses. Well, if you've got a 30 to 40% cash reserve, you're a pretty healthy business. We don't have that today. That hasn't been replenished. And Grant, if I can just, since I stand and speak to the motion,
I think our best thing to give us an opportunity to get financially healthy again, we owe roughly 70 on the house, sell it for what we can get, 85, 90, whatever, take that extra cash, put it into our financial reserve. We don't have a reserve here. If we have a heating system problem or anything else. So I guess if you're asking my opinion, I'm saying I think Grant's right on track.
Another point. The heating isn't real good. I don't know how much liability insurance we carry on, but if there was
it's
a fire,
scary.
We could be liable.
That's right.
For a lawsuit or whatever.
Well, it's not just the fire. It's pretty... I'm really glad you went ahead and had this system looked at here a month ago. Because that gas leak could have killed somebody. Yeah. You know? Yes, sir.
You know, as Dennis mentioned earlier, those givings to the church are mostly pledges that are going to disappear. And, you know, this truly is a money pit that we own over here. Mm-hmm. And it's not going to pay for itself. Negative cash flow, it's not paying for itself. You still got to pay the principal back at some point in time. And I think it's jeopardizing the financial health of our entire congregation.
It is.
And it would be my recommendation that we get rid of the house. So whether we take a loss or not, that's water under the bridge.
I think
we're going to suffer some dire consequences if we don't deal with this right now.
Right. Julie, you had your hand up there.
Well, I understand. I guess my point I want to make is I understand the motion and the second and what we're voting on and maybe get out from under something that might get us in the end. I just wanted to call attention to the negative $22,000 that we get overall as a church is not because of the house. I realize we may have problems coming up there, but the negative $22,000, we can't forget we are upside down here. And just selling and making a profit and putting a band-aid in, we are just going to go right to that too.
So we have
other fish to fry.
Thank you for saying that, because we all need to understand. Selling a house is just one step to future financial viability. It's not the solution. We still need to address our spending versus revenue issue. Yes, ma'am.
I'd like to comment on it in the perspective of not just finances, but what I hear today is we don't have enough help to do Scandinavian dinner. We don't have enough to do this project. Who wants to be a landlord? On top of all this, Bill Kerr has been over the last couple of years since he's been the church council president, and he has been getting calls a lot, and he's been over there a lot, and it's enough to be president of the congregation and a landlord. Who wants to do that? Nobody does.
Yeah, so everybody's thinking about doing that. It isn't all that bad, but it's not that.
That's not what you said.
That's not what I hear.
The lady that's renting is very, very nice and cooperative. He's also a pack rat and not a decent housekeeper. So the place is a mess.
I hated being a landlord. Because every time somebody moved out, you had to redo the whole house every time. And so when it comes to having rental property, I'm...
Question.
Okay. Two of our nicer ladies called for the question, so I think we'll respond.
Jim had his hand.
Oh, I'm sorry. Jim had a comment.
I do.
We'll get Jim and then we'll hold.
Personally, being involved in the task force, I had a number of comments as far as what might be done with the house, but I don't think those are quite so applicable at this moment. What I do think is worth consideration, if we do get, maybe not 85, maybe not 95, but say 100, 125,000 for the house, how do we assure ourselves that that money isn't going to be taken and put... How do we assure ourselves that money goes for the good of the church?
Don't you have to pay due to money back?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's...
Right.
That'd be $70,000.
We pay our $70,000 back. and we have 50,000 or 40,000. How do we assure that
we make a motion?
Just have to,
I think the only good thing in the whole property is the building in the back.
Yeah.
But we should vote on the sign.
Yeah.
But just let me comment. That's a valid concern.
Yeah.
And really, I think it's pretty clear what the congregation's intent is. And
it
it's
is.
Up, and it's up to the council to protect that money. And back to, I think, Gary's point or Julie's. This isn't this is a step to us taking care of our financial issues, and having a reasonable cash reserve is, which we realized from the sale, that's a big step in us fixing our financial position. We still need to end up giving the revenues and the expenses.
Yes.
They want.
And that's what the church council.
And that's really going to be not a burden, but an opportunity. Right, God never gives us any challenges He hasn't given us the abilities to meet. So let's keep that in mind, you know. But the question's been called. All in favor of Grant?
Seconded it. I'm sorry.
Oh, Sheila did.
Kurt,
somebody else did
too. We have a ballot on this, so there's a record.
Or a hand.
Or a hand count rather than just the voice. I mean, we've all signed up. We know how many voters they are.
Well, let's do a show of hands. That's okay with everybody. Hey, this is, we're dealing with a church problem. We're not dealing with an emotional what do I like issue. So,
right.
You know, all right. All in favor, raise your right hand. Put her, whichever hand you
want.
I'm
sorry.
I'm sorry.
Selling the house.
You want to read the motion?
There was a motion made that we sell the house. Grant did, though. Seconded by Sheila. All in favor, raise your right hand.
So we need to count.
Well,
yeah.
It's easier to count. You got a hand back there behind that one? Okay, let's do it this way. Put your hands on. All opposed? So whoever, all the numbers signed up.
Ask if anyone abstained, because that's how we do it.
Okay.
Yeah, anybody abstained.
Any abstentions? So we have one opposed, one abstention.
Okay.
So you have the numbers you need?
Yes.
I need to sign that little thing first.
Here, I'll take it
over. Sure.
I didn't sign it either, so.
Yeah, make sure, please.
Anyone else who hasn't signed the attendance roster? But, you know, I'll tell you what, I just want to thank you guys. This conversation was held on a business manner and not emotional. And I know some of us, it might be a hard pill to swallow, for others it's easier. But it's impressive that we came together and we're going to do what we have to do for the benefit of St. Louis. Thank you.
So we still have to vote on this.
Are we going to vote on the spending plan, or well, it's farther down the agenda?
Down.
Oh, I'm sorry. Never mind.
Next is coming.
See, I've got my two wives or mothers here, Sheila and Sean, whispering in my ear.
I
just
say anything.
All right. All right, let's move on to something more cheerful. The Synod Convention Delegate.
Hey, you skip the council.
All right, we'll do that first. Thank you, Ms.
That's cheerful.
We have. On our council right now, it's a great opportunity for the church to people to step up and serve in every form and have some fresh ideas. We need two people for a 3-year term, and Jim Kelly has said he will run. So we need one more person. We have one person for a 2-year term, and two for a 1-year term, and no one has indicated a willingness to serve in that capacity. So,
well, who all is staying on?
Bob Wagner.
How many are we supposed to have?
six plus the pastor.
They reduced the pastor.
But the pastor is just a person.
No, the pastor is a voting member.
Oh, I thought a long time ago that they're just there to observe.
In our constitution, the bylaws, the pastor is a voting member. But it's one vote out of seven.
So we need to come up with five people?
We need to come up with four other people other than Jim, in addition to Jim and Bob.
You know, and it's kind of a perfect storm in a way here. I mean, Leslie has expanded responsibilities at her job. She commutes to Sheridan. She's obviously going to have a second child. I mean, I'm tired. Bottom line.
Kurt, I gotta say, I really appreciate all you do. You have really stepped up and helped us.
But I'm tired. Did you have something to say?
I don't want to be on church council.
Yes, you do.
No. But what I would like to do, because we all have a gift, and my gift is organization, so I will help, if you will help me, do major fundraisers to get this out of there. So if you can step up to church council and take care of that, I will work on money. If that helps me.
That's very nice.
Thank you.
I don't know why you But, you know, I will organize if you have to step up to the plate and do it. If you're willing to, do I stand?
Here's six ballots. You go for it.
No, I'm not. I'm not going to be the council.
No, she's not. I already have that card.
Tammy?
Thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if she and I help you.
Well, I expect.
And I think others.
All members.
So. Yes, sir.
I don't understand our gossip. Are we just supposed to write someone?
I think the only way this is. I don't know how it's going to work. I think we have to nominate somebody, and that person has to accept.
Right.
It.
Yeah. We did not have the there's no use writing somebody down.
No.
Rather than them in.
No. They have to.
That's
going
to
be the people. People that are here. We're going to have to take nominations from the floor. And if we get enough that people are nominated and accepted, then we'll do the vote. If not, right now all we can vote on is Jim. Mm-hmm.
I nominate Loretta Culpepper.
For which one?
For the 2-year term.
How about 1 year?
You know, I'm one that will be very outspoken. And there's a lot of things that I don't agree with that's going on. And I'll let you know one thing. My husband has said, why don't we change churches? He's very unhappy. And this makes me very sad because I've been a Lutheran all my life. And if you want somebody that's going to really bitch, it's going to be me if you want me on there.
I think we need somebody. But do you want to help?
Not really, but
I mean, are you willing?
I don't think the council is about which of us need to bring our personal
our agenda. That's
to
right.
The council. We've really struggled with that for several years, and it has been hard to maintain any kind of positive focus at the council because of all of the transition that we've been going through.
And I think there's too much transition at once.
But some of it can't be helped.
We don't have control.
Part of our growing process, but I do think
we're not growing.
What we have to do.
Well, it's hard here. I'm just showing you how I feel.
Well, let Leslie finish.
Yeah, Leslie has to finish, please.
All I'm saying is if we're going to make forward progress, we have to be able to do it with an open mindset to do that. We have to get past bringing up historical events that each of us as individuals didn't agree with, we've made some decisions as a church body, and we need to support those as members, and especially as church council members, or we aren't going to grow, we aren't going to move forward, and we're, this congregation will just contract and keep getting
right.
smaller.
Thank you, Les.
Dean, thanks.
There may be a stumbling block here for some people that want to be on the council. Correct me if I'm wrong. I thought I read that you had to be a church-going member 2 months, 2 weeks out of the month. You had to be a church. We're looking for council members that are... I read this. Did I read this wrong or not?
I'll speak
no,
to that.
No,
that was me.
Yeah.
That was my that was my preference, is that members of council attend worship twice a month, because as Lutherans, the most important thing we do is worship together, and if people aren't worshiping together, they can't be leaders.
So if that's still the rule, then I'll sit down.
Well,
and that's not
it's
constitutional.
Not a rule.
That's
no.
an opinion.
It's not constitutional.
That's
that is my request, as hoping that that the council's disconnected to the congregation, because if the council's not here on Sunday, it's not helping. You can't leave if you're not here. We can't
and
make decisions
true.
If you're not here, part of the community. So that was my hope. It's not mandatory. You don't. It's not in the Constitution. So I'm hoping if you're not attending that often, unless you get on council, you'd be willing to attend more often. The council is going to be much more biblically based. We're going to do Bible study. We're going to be really looking for the Spirit's movement. We're not going to be looking for anchors. You know, we need sails. We need sails, not anchors. So that's just, that was my preference, but it's not my
preference. So I'm really confused with Tommy Blond. But it just says one term, three term, whatever, two term. How do you know what you're even going to be nominated for? I mean, I liked it before, and when we had, you're in education, you're a treasurer, you're whatever. But to me, that made sense, and I understood what someone was going to be there to help us, student council, do. This, it, to me, is very confusing. So someone's just going to serve three terms doing what?
Okay, I'll just...
Okay.
According to our church constitution bylaws, the way our church council is set up, you are not nominated for a position.
That's correct.
You aren't nominated to be president or vice president.
No.
Of the nation. That is not where our constitution is designed. So therefore, you just are, you belong to the council, and then the council among them decides who's the president.
Yeah,
that's how our constitution is.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's why the voting is like this.
Okay, thank you.
And we're not saying this is the best system, and it's not the only
no,
system, but it's ours.
You don't know what you're
yeah.
signing up for, so I don't know if anyone's going to want to do that.
What are you signing up for?
I'm not saying. If I sign up for anything, then I have to go to Sunday school. I have too many things that I am obligated to do.
Yeah, we have that scenario.
Okay.
I would like to nominate Ivita.
Oh,
yeah. One term or 2 years?
Oh, yeah.
1 or 2 year term. Or 3 years.
I'll do the 2 year.
Yay!
If I get on it, I'll do one.
Oh.
One year?
I also have another nomination.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
That would be Lois.
Which
I nominate Lois for 1 year.
1 year?
Are you willing?
How many? 1 year is
okay.
That's
1 year.
Yay.
Thank you.
Yay. Oh, no, that's good.
Are you recording this?
I'm sorry.
Are
you
recording
this?
I'm sorry.
I can work in 1 year and see how much time it's going to take.
Okay, Dean is for 2 weeks, for 1 year.
But I don't come to church every Sunday.
That's okay, we're going to
one. There's three of them for 1 year.
No,
well, I don't know.
What do we have right now? We got Alita for 2.
We've got, for 1, we've got Lois.
Yeah.
Loretta and Dean.
Loretta's for lunch?
We can't hear. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right now on the ballot, for the one-year term, we have Lois, Loretta, and Dean. Two-year term, Ailega. Three-year term,
Jim. We still
need one more for the three-year term.
Well, we got too many on a one-year term, too.
Well, that's why we vote.
Right.
Well,
yeah,
we could vote.
It'd be nicer if we didn't.
Well, they could do it for 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
So what was that?
I would, I have a motion. All right, I would like to recommend Gary Kramer for the three-year term.
Yes.
Gary.
Who?
Gary Kramer.
You accepted it.
I didn't do it, buddy.
He comes to church all the time.
I know. Regular attendance.
You know, let me just say before you vote on that, I feel an obligation to help the church just like everyone else does. But one of the things that's kept me off the council for as long as I've been a member here is I really have no patience for the infighting and all the bickering that goes on. If I were to be on the council, I would not have patience for that. And I think, you know, if I were to do it, it would be for the good of the church moving forward. I have no agenda other than the church. And if somebody wants me to carry out their agenda, then you shouldn't put me on the nomination.
Got my vote.
You got my vote.
Wait, how many years was that?
Three.
You won, yeah. Gary.
Come on, Gary.
Yay!
You know, I think one of the results of this meeting, we're going to have more people stepping up and grabbing onto issues and helping the council than maybe we experienced for a while. I think that's really positive.
I
do too.
I make a motion to see salvation.
Thanks.
I second.
So, how many people will we have to vote for what it says to vote for?
Can you please tell us what to fill in our ballot?
Well, somebody.
I found a new ballot. All I have is mine out.
No.
I have a suggestion. If everybody takes their ballot and we have two possibilities to vote for the 3 year term in Jim Kelly, Gary Kramer.
Well, I thought that was 2 years.
No, that's 2 years.
Listen
no,
to
it's
her.
3 years.
That's 3 years.
Listen to people.
Pay attention.
2 people, 3 years.
Okay, for the 3 year term?
Yeah.
And for the 2 year term, we need to vote for one, and we have nominated Ailega.
Yeah.
For the 1 year term, people need to vote for two people, and you have three choices. There's three nominations there, so each person would write in their two choices of the three people nominated. Lois, Loretta, and Dean. Then we can collect these back, and we'll need to make the determination at that point.
We're going to do the Senate reps too on the same ballots.
Okay.
Lois and Sherry said they would definitely go in May and represent us, and they're coming from our congregation going to the Senate Assembly. And Denise just said she would go on as an alternate. So. Is there anybody else that would want to go to Senate? Because that is something we vote on, because they're representing us and we send them on their way.
So you want us to write in each name that they're voting for. You turn those ballots into
I would go as an alternate. Okay, good. And put Pat down as an alternate too, so Pat and Denise just in case. If I can get off the call,
so are we supposed to vote for those representatives?
Yeah.
Well, I thought
that's pretty much just
voting
in.
They already said they're voting.
I know. Unless you really don't want them to go for these. It's pretty much so.
Yeah. We have a basket.
Anybody have ballots for
here.
So I need to write Denise on here.
Yes. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay.
Loretta has an announcement while we're voting.
There are some changes with drive-in now. We cannot apply like we have in recent years. You get online and you apply for $250 debit card for anything that you are going for. That debit card gets, you give it to whoever, and they can buy the supplies with it. There are questions that will be asked of you, and it's kind of self-explanatory, but it's going to be a whole lot easier. We are not going to have, like, Sheridan and Buffalo as being a chapter. It is going to be regional, and it will be out of Denver. So it's going to be different. So if there's any kind of a thing that you want money for, go online at drivein.com, and all of the, it'll just lead you through it. And if you're okay, then you probably will. I think you're allowed, what is it, $250 debit cards per year for anything.
As a Thrive-In member.
So,
if somebody has a project, contact the Thrive-In member.
Mm-hmm. Right. So that's the change in Thrive-In. And don't forget your Choice Dollars.
Yeah, Choice Dollars can come here too.
Well, I think Leslie is calling the ballots.
Do I have them all?
Did everybody turn in their ballots? Let's make sure that everybody's turned in their ballots.
Everybody voted? Okay. The next thing is approval of the 2014 financial spending plan. Given our discussions, what's your pleasure?
What page are we on?
17.
17.
So are you asking if we're going to go ahead and vote on this today, or we're going to shelve it for another?
I think what I'm asking is, looking at the plan, first of all, is there something on there that
should we go over?
You would like to address. The other issue is, are we ready to vote on it today, or do we need to postpone a vote, come up with another plan, and have a special congregation meeting to vote on it?
Well, there is something that I have on the, there is a issue that I have on the spending plan that I would like to address, if that's a possibility.
Sure.
Right off the bat, the EDLC emission share, we budgeted last year $4,000, and now we've raised it, another $1,000. And I think with our financial situation the way it is with our church, that we need to reduce that either $3,500 or just keep it at the $4,000. That's right here.
Okay, I've been asked to talk about that. Semantics get really confusing in this. There's benevolence and there's mission share. Mission share is what goes to the greater church automatically. So, in theory, it would be 10% of what comes in would go on to the greater church to do all sorts of ministry that the greater church does. Camps, seminaries,
New churches,
new mission starts, colleges, all those things that we do as a large church body. That's mission share. And then benevolence is kind of like that over and above. Like, I want to give extra to World Hunger, because that one means a lot to me, or it's Lent and we're going to take up a special collection. So it gets kind of confusing, but mission share is generally like a set, we're going to give this much to the bigger church because we are the ELCA here. We are the home office of the ELCA here in Buffalo. and so we were quite happy to contribute to that. That actually comes back to us in the support that I get as the pastor. So the information from the bishop, the continuing ed we get, the tech studies I'm able to attend, all that stuff, it comes back to us by helping me be able to do my job. I really can't do my job outside of the greater church. So that's mission share. And then we bumped it up a little bit just in a hopes of trying to grow that. Like I said, in theory, it would be 10%. And we're, what percent? Like, maybe 2 or 3%. So this was just kind of...
We did, the council was in agreement with
that. Yeah, it was a discussion during the budget meeting. Yeah. Just to try to encourage us, to remind us, you know, that we are a part of something bigger.
Is that based on givings or the population?
No, it's based on income. It's based on what comes in, and here we would tie 10% to the greater church.
And I think a lot of us don't know, in the past anyway, did not know where that money went and what it was for.
And so if you look on page 26, you'll see the Rocky Mountain Synod bit, and on the back then you will see the ELCA bit. So typically what happens is the congregations take money, it goes, the Synod chair goes to Rocky Mountain Synod, Rocky Mountain Synod keeps 50%, and then 50% goes on to the ELCA. And so if you look at the church, tells you in here about there's all the church upstarts, the seminarians, all those things that we support, the camp that Andy was here last week, that's benevolence, that goes towards that. So you can read through that, if that makes sense. Is there a question about it?
Yeah. Still questioning benevolence. Is that something that we just, as churchgoers, give, and we can notate it as a benevolence?
Right, above and beyond. So,
it is actually in the church budget. It's just something that we can give over and above.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So like a special collection. Okay. We had the barns for the animals. That would be like a benevolence giving, where a cemetery is like, we agree they're going to give us
to right. It's on our envelopes too. Really.
Yeah, and just to clarify, the stuff that people give, it's designated specifically for benevolence or a certain process. That's on summarized on page 16, and that's excluded from what you see in the spending plan. Dedicated funds.
Well, since we're in dire straits here, that we should at least not bump it up as far as the amount we $5,000.
Well, on that issue, I was going to ask if somebody wants to make a motion one way or the other, and then we can vote on that motion to change or not change.
I make a motion to make it $3,500 for this year.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Any more discussion? The motion is made to change the mission share, ELCA mission share, from $5,000 to $3,500. All in favor of that, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Aye.
Carried. The results of the 2014 council, and I think we've got a great council here. Todd Wagner, Jim Kelly, and Gary Kramer for 3 years. Alita Nutzel for 2, and Lois Mattson and Dean Knoller for 1.
Yay.
Thank you, everyone.
Yes.
When does Todd's term up?
Todd has 2 more years.
Question.
Good stand.
The evangelism, why are we cutting it out? We spent $188 this year and we're only budgeting for $100. So we spent over budget for evangelism. We're cutting it out altogether. And Lutheran Outdoors.
Oh, what was that discussion?
And
you remember last
stewardship. I thought stewardship is something that we really need if we want to have money for land.
It is. We had some discussions around the start with the stewardship line item first. Generally speaking, our expenses for stewardship would be related to a a pledge drive or whatever kind of program we would use. You know, usually if we were going to have a stewardship drive for the 2014 year, that would have happened probably in the fall of 2013.
Right.
And we don't have anything in the works, to my knowledge, at the moment. So most of what we would plan to do stewardship-wise, in my mind anyway, and at least in the council's perspective when we talked about it, is that we would be planning for a stewardship drive that would be for the 2015 year. Now, we still may need to do something in this year for that, and that may be an area where we want to put some money in as a line item. There was a vigorous discussion on the council about whether that should be zero or 1,000 or anywhere in between there. So that's an item we should talk about. On the your question on Lutheran Outdoors, Loretta, we budgeted $100 last year, chose not to give that to the, I forget the name of the camp in South Dakota, because we anticipate that this year our youth will be attending the Skardange camp. So rather than leave it specifically to that line item, we wanted the congregation and the council ultimately to have the flexibility to put those funds where it would more directly help our youth. I don't remember what we spent on what the $188 for evangelism is there.
Just as a note on Lutheran Outdoors, we didn't this year, but several years the women go there in April or May for a weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate to cut that string. Even though they're in South Dakota, they're right next door to us. It's the closest camp there is. And $100 a year is minimal. I mean, I don't understand that.
Well, I'm in favor of cutting that as a budgeted item, but I think we can give it as an extra giving.
Yes.
Yeah, that's how I feel. I don't want it budgeted.
That's kind of where the council
have to. You know, if we want to do a giving for them, like when their speaker comes, then we give an offering.
Right. And what about custodial salaries? Are we not going to have a custodian?
We have. Sorry. We intended to... My note's not very clear, apparently. We do have a custodian. In the past, we have paid the Straight Sisters a salary to do the church cleaning, and now we are paying for that as an outside service. So we've included the cleaning costs in the property repair and maintenance line item. That's why that proposed spending is at $5,700 for the year. Which is significantly more than what we had in that line item last year, but it's mostly because the move of the church cleaning goes up to that line item. We will be paying less for the church cleaning under this arrangement than we have been in the past, but that's why it shows zero in salaries. We're not paying that as a salary anymore.
Here. It seemed to me like, as we discussed earlier with our negative cash flow of our church right now, have we considered asking for volunteers to clean your church? You know, there's a lot of people that don't want to serve on boards and on committees, and they'd rather do something that they're good at.
Well, we did ask, we did not receive.
Okay.
That's why we went this direction.
We asked for months.
Take a month. A family would take a month and clean and mow
No takers.
Speaking of volunteers, it just reminds me, we have to thank Paul Johnson, because he cut the grass this summer.
Yes.
All but a couple of times.
Mower blade of the year.
Mower blade of the year, buddy. Can I just suggest something on one of the lines Leslie said? If our giving, our revenues, even stay what they were this year, 2013 or 2012, we're still upside down on our proposed spending. And I don't think that this proposed spending is anything outrageous. It's pretty much what it costs to operate this place. And I think, for one, we're getting a lot more benefit than we're paying for and Sherry Kelly.
That's right.
You know, if there's any place we can increase,
yes,
it's there.
It's there.
And I don't think this lady is even putting on all the hours she works on our behalf. So, but having said all that, if we want to approve this proposal, I think we can do that. But I think we also need to do some sort of pledge drive, for lack of a better phrase, coming to mind sooner rather than later, like in the next 3 months. And then we need to get those results. And we can do it with all out of expense. We don't need some fancy programs. We need a couple of us to write some letters and maybe talk to some people, etc. And then revisit this thing at mid-year and see where we're at.
And I think one thing to consider really is if each member gave $5 more a week, we would have met budget no problem. And so, like I said, we don't need a savior to come in. If we just pitch in a little bit more, we'll meet budget no problem. And I know some people can't give as much and others can give more. It all balances out.
There's also a lot of members who don't participate.
Right.
And I think reaching out and receiving $5 a week from some holes will help us too. You know, I don't want to come across as all the burden is on the people that chose to stay here today and deal with our church.
And so it's something we have to talk about, which has been an issue. We just have to talk about it. And people don't need to be afraid to talk about it. So talk about it. The more we talk about it, the better off.
But we can't, I don't think we can just say we're going to approve spending $102,000 based on the information we have today. We need to get more information and we need to make adjustments if necessary. In my finances.
So you're saying we should reconvene?
Well, I'm saying I don't know if I'm supposed to make a motion or not. I'm hoping somebody agrees and makes one. Kevin, I'm sorry.
I just have one couple more line items to look at. The FICA contribution, I assume that's a typo.
What?
FICA.
$310.
Yeah.
Whoa. Should be probably $3,100, it looks like.
No. It's part of the reason that's so different is it goes back partly to the way we used to be paying the cleaning staff. They were being paid as a wage, so we had a FICA contribution on that expense as well. At the present moment, going forward, the only FICA expense the church would have is on the whatever Sherry's position is. I don't know what her name is.
Administrative secretary.
That position. And the only piece of that that's an expense to the church is the church's match, so the 7.65%. There's another 7.65% that's being deducted out of her wages. And in some years in the past, we've shown that whole FICA payment, employee portion and employer portion, as a church expense. And so that's why it's so significantly different than what we've seen in the past.
I knew you had an answer for that. Then the one other is just...
Nope, you don't want to take on my slate.
Just want to clarify. I'm stupidity. And then the insurance line above, I assume that's for property insurance. Mm-hmm. We were over budget last year. We didn't raise it. Is there a reason why that's less than what it was last year?
Yeah, you are right. It is property and liability insurance. The reason that the actual expense in 2013 was more than budget is, timing-wise, we made our 2012 fourth quarter insurance payment in January of last year, which, or yeah, 2013. So our actual expense for that year looks higher than it's $1,800 that we've got budgeted matches up with our current premium and what we are anticipating the renewal quote to be. We can't know that for sure, but.
And we did change our property insurance carrier last year to a less expensive, but
yeah, we did.
But equal or better service, D.
Does that insurance cover the house next door?
Yes.
Yes.
So would it be proper to put that over underneath the house?
You know, that's a question, Dean, and I don't know the answer. Is what part of that
Well, percentage is one of the by, you know, yeah, property value,
but it could be
like that. You set it up for a property value.
Yeah, that would require some research.
We have it in the policy. It's in the office, and it explains which one, what is the one.
So
and how
we could
much.
Pull that out.
Yeah,
and put it over
it
with.
Wasn't as expensive as we'd like.
That's water on the bridge.
Yeah,
but it would be more accurate.
Yes.
Be more accurate.
Got to spell it for you.
Okay.
Based on my confidence in all the answers we've gotten from our council, and thank you for all your work, I'd like to make a motion that we approve this budget with the amendment of the ELC mission share change to $3,500, and that we go forward as a congregation and work within our budget and let the new council continue from there. That's my motion.
So the new total proposed would be $101,420.
I sense an eagerness to vote, but in fairness, is there any more discussion?
35.
Not all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Vote. Carry. Thank you all very much for your hard work, Loretta.
The confirmed and convening and contributing members is. Is it or contributing or and? Wayne Nelson is not a member, and Ardith and Nadine Madison are both the same person.
Oh, that's how that was. They're listed separately.
What?
Ardith and Nadine are listed separately.
But they're the same person.
I didn't know
that. There he is.
An icon and everything that was listed as well.
Isn't that funny? Because they are the same person.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Thank you. That's very
good. Carl?
Thank you.
I have an additional comment on this property next door. When it's sold, and whoever decides what price they're going to sell it at, or if we have to give the thing away, that the council needs to notify the congregation before anything is done with the money left. Or the money we have.
Absolutely.
What about the price?
Pardon?
What about the price?
We'll have to have a special congregational meeting to approve the sale.
Correct.
We'll have to be approved.
Correct.
But after it is sold, what I'm saying is rather council make the decision, it has to be brought to the congregation as to what to do with the persons.
I agree, and we could do that at the same special meeting.
There is a motion on the floor.
For what? Would you like to lead us in bed? Well, then, tell us what prostitution is.
They're in there.
Well,
they're really
nothing to approve.
Did they accept it?
One of them impacts our conversation earlier in the meeting on page 22, section C10.03. Since there was some discussion about sending written notice to meetings out, this section, if we approve this the way that it's written, it would allow us to provide notice of meetings at the two preceding Sundays and by mail or electronic means to voting members in 10 days in advance. So if that's not the intent of this congregation, we should talk about that.
And that is not a bylaw, so really it's something we can change. So.
Yeah.
Right.
It's yeah.
So really it isn't a law. That's
so it's just an amendment so that it's already been approved then.
Yeah.
Benefits.
We just need to, yes. Just approve it. It just needs to be.
Were these amendments proposed by the ELCA or something?
This is the ELCA constitution.
So
it's not ours.
Yeah.
It's just part of ours.
We have to adopt the provision of the ELCA constitution.
Yeah.
There's model constitution.
And then the bylaws are those portions that we
resolution
have control over.
We are not changing our bylaws.
At this point in time.
No.
Yeah. This is just approved at the 2013 churchwide. So
I'd like to make a motion that we approve the amendments as presented by the Senate to the model constitution for our congregation.
I will second that.
Who said that?
Does that mean that you can put the announcement in the newsletter? Or does that mean
it didn't say that?
No, our bylaws say that we do it the way that you and I both thought we should.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
But we could make our bylaws would be more restrictive. We just can't be less restrictive. So I would say what you guys are in favor of is more restrictive. And so we're fine. And that's takes a while to figure it out. All in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Can we do the benediction now? Pastor, would you do the benediction for us?
Oh, wait, we have to do door prizes. Okay. The first door prize goes to the person who can tell me the name of our current big ELCA bishop.
Gonia.
No.
Elizabeth. You will find her picture on the back.
I said E.
Sheila has won herself a lovely St. Luke's ELCA grocery sack. Perfect for taking to DJs and gathering
looks
up
like
her.
A t-shirt.
It was a t-shirt.
Oh.
It's now a bag. It has a lovely pocket in the front for a cell phone.
Somebody get some work.
Or whatever. Thank you, Lois, for coming.
Thank you.
And this one will require a raise of hands. First person to raise your hand with the proper answer. How many senators are in the ELCA?
How many
synods? The Rocky Mountain Synod is one of them. How many?
Seven.
Hold on.
65.
Oh, you already won. Leslie has won a lovely souvenir for
you. I have one of those.
Congratulations.
At least a coffee cup had usefulness to it.
It's a bag you can carry your books.
The bag is cool.
See? The bag is cool. How many people are staying for lunch?
Oh,
there's the 12th person was on you down there. So some of them are staying.
How many are on the diet?
It's over.
Whatever. I have salad.
Running around. Yeah, there you go.
I have
hard time. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Gracious Lord, we give you thanks for this day and this time we've had to come together and for your blessing among us. I ask that you continue to guide us and lead us in all that we do. Make us be the fisher people that you need us to be here. As we depart from here, keep those safe who are traveling and then bless our meal for those of us who share it together. May we be strengthened in it. In Christ's name we pray.
Amen.
Go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.